From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Yeah, I would guess it's because they want to make the thing slimmer. And if you create access panels and stuff, it begins adding millimeters.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carbon BFF Keon. Keon, how's your week?
Oh, it was a great week. There was so much that happened.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much I probably couldn't even list it all. I mean.
Really?
Yeah, I probably took like thousands of breaths, I would think. And
dang.
All those heartbeats that happened. And I believe the sun rose at least a couple times. And so did the moon, maybe, even.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. I mean, visible. You don't really hear about all that all the time.
No, no. It's a rare occurrence these days.
I saw you once this week. I try to remember when I talked to you. I don't think I talked to you.
No, we didn't. I walked by you several times, probably.
Yeah, I was in it, man. There's startup days coming up, and that's been going. And
It's a busy time of year.
It's a busy time of year. Yeah, October, man.
Yeah, people kind of slack off during summer, and then
Labor Day comes, right? And no one works during.
Yeah, they October. Do. They do a little work. Yeah, they start doing a little work.
And everybody crams it in October.
Yep, and then November, everyone's like, "Oh, I got holidays now." And then that's off
usually,
again.
That's usually what happens.
A few months.
Yeah. Today's going to be a spicy show.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I don't know. It's spicy for who? You know?
For people that watch this show. They're going to be like, oh my God, they're talking about stuff.
I don't know.
Look what they said.
They're probably used to it.
Did you really mean that?
This is all that I've been orange pilling my brother-in-law.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, you know, mid-20s.
Yeah.
I programming pilled him before he went to college. So he became a programmer, but more recently he's been interested in Bitcoin. He might come to TabConf.
Really? Your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is he going to hang out at the booth or the table?
I guess he'll hang out wherever. He's just getting started. I'm just getting him going on Bitcoin.
The room that you were in for that episode. Weren't you in his room?
I was in his room. Yeah.
Oh, doxed.
Yeah. I don't know what I was saying about that, but
I remember you.
I was going to say, because we were talking about what's going on in Bitcoin, all the drama, and he is asking me. He's like, okay, so I'm going to try to get caught up. I want the history. I want to know these things about Bitcoin and also what's going on right now. And I'm I'm like, what's going on right now? It's like, it's all like drama that is like nonsense. So there's really not a whole lot to really say about it.
Gosh.
The best thing I could say was like, one of the cool things about Bitcoin is it's really hard to change. So like whatever's going on now is always not at the core of it. It's like at the periphery of it. And it's this thing right now is just drama, straight drama. Yeah, so that's what we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to any of it. I just focus on the founder stuff.
I wish I couldn't pay attention to it, but it kind of demands a little bit of attention.
I mean, I felt like in the beginning I did, like in 2020, 21, even 22, but like right around 23, 24. And then as time has gone on, I'd feel like, you know, it's more in the peripheral. And then I'm just more of like a supporter. That makes sense.
Cheerleader. Yeah.
You know, cause there are people I know on both sides of that, you know, and,
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really, you know,
there's no reason to pick a side.
Well, it's not. I mean, obviously, I care because I'm holding Bitcoin. But outside of that, I don't know if I actually have a
dog in the fight.
Well, it's not even that. I feel like I do, but I don't know if I don't know. I have a take on it. We'll talk about it later. Okay. But I don't think people are going to like my take. People are going to be kind of pissed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, you're heated already.
No, I'm not.
It's just my
take on it. But this is why I don't share my take, especially with developers.
Oh, yeah. You do have a view of developers that suggests that they might be precious and be temperamental.
I am a tiz whisperer.
Can't handle it.
I am a tiz whisperer.
Yeah, I guess so. But are you a tiz listener?
Oh, wow.
Nick's just said that he has too much tiz.
Nick has two mempools, turns out. He was telling us
we need three axes.
Hey, come over here. Come over here.
One of them is like rage.
Uh-oh. We gotta mute this. He's saying some graphic, things. Say that for a conference. Anyways, if you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the front page of Bitcoin at stacker.news every week. And yeah, we had some really popular videos last week. Feel Safe in America, turns out that was a real popular one.
Oh.
The Perplexity one was popular. The Kevin Durant one, I told you, Keon, the Kevin Durant one was
pretty good clickbait, yeah.
Yeah, people love hearing about celebrities and getting hacked and stuff. So that was a good one. And then the Overabundance one. And people keep subscribing. Stop subscribing.
And we thought we told you guys.
And we need you to unsubscribe. Stop subscribing. We're every week, there's just more and more subscribers. We don't want to be popular. We don't want to be influential. I want to be able to
be dishonest. We want to be able to tell you the truth. If we get too popular, we have to start lying to you guys.
Start pretending. Wait, is that what you think happens?
We have to pretend we believe things that we don't.
Is that what you
think? We have to start hyping up technologies and people and projects that we don't actually believe in. Because it's like, we need something to talk about.
Whoa, calm down. Wait.
Because you know how, we're capable of being extremely boring right now. Because there's like, you know, we get to talk about what's actually going on in Bitcoin, which is extremely boring. But when if we got popular, we'd have to try to keep our popularity going. That's hard. You got to start making shit up.
Yes.
Yeah, this is changing the world. This is going to do, everything's going to be different. Because of this.
Stop subscribing. Seriously. Yeah.
This is not. Do you want that to happen to us?
This is not helping us. Please unsubscribe now. Unsubscribe. Unhit the bell. Don't do that.
Do like my parents and unsubscribe.
Katie, stop watching. Anyways. I forgot to mention, we're dropping a DVD at TabConf. So we posted this. I said, stop subscribing. I posted this earlier. I was like, stop subscribing. no, this one here. Where is it at here? Yeah, this one. So we're dropping. Where is it at? Is it this one? No, it's not this one. We're dropping a DVD at TapConf. If you're coming to TapConf, it's not in here. Anyways, if you're coming to TapConf, definitely come grab a DVD. We're going to have 25 copies. I'm going to drop the trailer. Nick had a great idea about dropping a trailer. So I'm going to drop the trailer this weekend on Fountain because they have video on Fountain now. So if you're a supporter on Fountain, you'll see that early. If you're not, then you're going to have to wait till next week for the trailer. And then next week on Friday here at Plub Lab, we're going to be doing the DVD commentary track. Keon, did you know that?
We're doing a DVD commentary track?
After SNL next week.
Right. You told me about that.
Yeah, so it might be a short time ago. Might be a shorter SNL next week because we got to watch.
Got to watch ourselves. Got to watch ourselves. And then talk about ourselves. Oh, man.
It's kind of funny, though, so it's not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I showed a little piece to Plepwood yesterday, and she was like, oh, she started laughing. So
I wish I still drank because the only way I'll be able to get through that.
I'll probably drink during the show. It'll be good. Anyways. With all that being said, let's start the show. The number five top story this week is, did Strive just deploy Warren Buffett's elephant gun? This is from Dan, September 22nd, 18 comments, 1,162 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so Warren Buffett's elephant gun is his big reserve of cash waiting to be deployed. So he kind of keeps a huge pile of hundreds of billions of dollars just waiting for the right opportunity in the market. That's what he calls his elephant gun, I guess. And, you know, Joaquin Book drew a comparison to that in the Strive and similar story. So Strive is a Bitcoin treasury company, one of many now. I don't know. I wonder which number they emerged at, but it was probably somewhere about 10 of them existed. I think I started hearing about them. And then there's another Bitcoin treasury company called Semler Scientific, I think. They have like a medical testing business. And then they started acquiring Bitcoin and they became a Bitcoin treasury company too. I guess Strive's MNAV, their multiple of net assets, what is it? Yeah, their share price to net asset value was like several multiples. It was like 3 in the 8 range. That's usually when these companies start doing lots of fiat things, is when that range is pretty big. And so Strive did such a fiat thing, and they acquired the smaller Bitcoin treasury company Semler with an all stock deal. So they gave them Semler shareholders got a bunch of Strive stock in exchange for Semler's Bitcoin holdings, in addition to Semler's like normal business, which is a scientific research thing. And so they paid roughly market value for their scientific research testing business, and then also market value roughly also maybe a little better than market value for the Bitcoin. And so they just added, I think it was 5,000 Bitcoin is what Semler held. So Strive added 5,000 Bitcoin to their share price, or to their Bitcoin treasury. And that's the whole thing. This is like the first example of this. And I guess Matt Levine, who we've talked about a few times on this podcast, who's done a lot of things, I think, for Bloomberg about this treasury stuff. He was predicting this back in July, that we'd see treasury companies with high MNAVs snatching up treasury companies with low MNAVs. Because they have that MNAV is sort of like the bullets that they have in their gun, and they can just pick up these other treasury companies, because why not?
That's cool.
Basically it, I guess.
Yeah, I got nothing. Cool. Next story we got, number 4, is how to contribute to Bitcoin or Bitcoin Core other than code. This is from Schmitty. September 24th, Bitcoin Territory, 3 comments, 628 sets. Keon, what's going on with Bitcoin and Bitcoin Core?
I guess Schmitty.
And which Schmitty is this?
This is Schmitty at Brink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe.
I've been seeing him post a lot more this week, right? Is that what's going on?
They post the OpTech
okay.
Regularly. And then, yeah, they've been posting more about, I guess, just kind of cross-pollinating other stuff and other discussions they have. So I guess Bitcoin contributions came up either in a thread or somewhere else. And I think Schmitty gave a talk, or someone else gave a talk at some point, because this is an extract from btctranscripts.com. But these are all the ways that you can possibly get involved in Bitcoin, because by all appearances, the way to get involved in Bitcoin is be annoying on Twitter and argue with people and call them names. Because from the outside, that's kind of all you see. But there are actually lots of people doing lots of work in all these areas. And we could actually use more people doing these things than complaining on Twitter.
And then he talks about the different ways.
Yeah, the different ways. There's so many ways. And
I'm surprised they don't do their own conference, Brink. You know what I mean? I'm surprised they don't have their own conference.
Brink and Chaincode, and
yeah, I'm surprised they don't.
Oh, well, they don't want another job for themselves, and there's people doing great jobs.
I'm just surprised that they don't. Like, they do a lot of all the other stuff, but that's one that they don't do.
Yeah, well, I think that's why it's listed in here, is they see it as part of their job to participate in those other conferences rather than throw their own.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that they don't do one. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
because I was looking at the list right there.
Yeah.
That's like one of the things that they don't do.
Well, they also don't do all of these things. These are just things that other people in the community they see doing that are also helpful.
I'm just surprised that they don't.
And each of like the Bitcoin nonprofits, they kind of have a focus. We'll get into in another post, but they tend to do certain kinds of work versus other kinds of work. I think in the case of Brink, they focus.
They do janitor work too?
Yeah, the janitor work is probably some of the most important
work. Oh, not actual janitor work. They just...
It means like work that people don't want to do. It doesn't seem glamorous, but it's probably like some of the most important work.
Oh, gotcha.
Especially if it's not getting done.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know they ran the... okay, so they also do the Chaincode thing too as well.
I think Chaincode is an independent nonprofit.
So that's not the same thing as Brink.
No, Brink is like a different...
Oh, okay.
They might... I think they're all the same. I think we might lump them together because they were like two of the only nonprofits that existed in Bitcoin for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never know how many of those are all the same or not.
But I think they are, like, they do help each other a lot. But I think they have different missions. Yeah. Chaincode is more so like a sort of a...
But they all work for the same... They all, like, have the same people work with each other, right?
I think no? They do go from... They'll go from one... I have seen
which
some people...
Merch work for? Merch, doesn't he have his own now?
Yeah, Merch now is at Localhost.
Oh, it's San Fran. Yeah, that's right.
Palo Alto, actually.
Can't wait to see Merch at Tabco. That should be good. Cool stuff, man. Love to see it.
Yeah, this is a great list.
Whenever we do Top Builder, it's always cool to see people that are like in Top Builder at the same time they're in the chain code thing and like vice versa.
Yeah.
It's always cool to hear stuff or people that graduate from Top Builder then go to chain code or vice versa. So,
yeah. Chain code has changed a lot since I was in it in 2020, 2021.
And look where you're at. You're at Pueblo.
I was in there with Gloria, actually. Who's now?
Oh, you were. Look at you.
She was the I think she was the first person I met.
Wow.
I met in
look at you.
I met in Chaincode.
Dang. Both look where you guys ended up.
She's talking about Anchor Outputs.
She's on Core and you're over here doing Stacker News. See? That could be you.
It's classes for everything.
Yeah. You're with the plebs, she's with the devs.
She's the royalty.
Oh wow.
Or devs.
Yeah.
I don't know what is better.
We got it. Top comment was from Beam Me Up, Scotty, or Beam Me Up, LOL. I don't understand more than half of these, but the least effort one I can do is run a full node. And then now it said they also need to use their full node for something like privately checking. All right, cool. Yeah. I think a useful thing would be like having some links here, letting the plebs know what to do. We have that. So we have a thing called Plebbook. Maybe Schmitty can take a look at this. You can go here, and then we have some links here to do all the stuff. Developers to follow, all that stuff, dev comps, all that kind of stuff. So just an idea. You can fork this if you want. But other ways you can do stuff like that.
Yeah. Perhaps. I mean, that would be, I think, a way you could help. Someone could help Bitcoin is continuing to build out a resource like a
Plebbook.
Build out Plebbook so that it is
yeah, and put it right here.
Comprehensive.
Book.com. Contribute. But yeah. Next top story is number three, the rage leaked Luke Dash Jr. plans hard fork to save Bitcoin in quotations. This is from a non-September 25th of Bitcoin territory, 38 comments, 4,780 cents. Keon, why are we reporting drama this week on Stacker News Live? I thought we didn't report drama and...
We report
stuff like this.
We report what people zap and people zap this, and people tend to flock.
I'm surprised to see Anon in the top five. This is the first time this ever happened on the show.
I think that might be true, but I would also not be surprised. Okay,
it's definitely true. I've never seen an Anon post in the top five. That means a very high level, web of trust stacker. Upvoted this.
I don't know. We have a lot of stats.
Wasn't there. Me. I have a non-muted. So
it might not even be it might not be trust so much as someone zapped a lot.
Oh, let me check.
Someone really wanted to see this on
the
top.
See if the live
details. 20 zappers.
20 zappers. Okay, maybe. Just skated through.
Well, at some point we'll do stats on like the average zap and stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, you should have in there under details. It should be like web of trust or top, you know what I mean? It should have like the amount of, I told the CK one time, it should have like the top 10 web of trust stackers or whatever. Like,
oh no, we're never gonna dox people's apps.
No, I'm just saying like it tells you like who the top, like were there web of trust stackers that also zapped this and that take into account.
I mean, everyone's a web of trust stacker.
You know what I mean? Like the top tier ones. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Anyway, the story. So it's a bit, to start off, this is a bit of a clickbaity title because in truth, this isn't actually a hard fork.
It's blocked. How am I going to
get Oh, are you not on a VPN? Yeah, that's why.
Well, because I can't, because I'm running the show. All right, let me do the archive.
Anyway, someone was having a conversation with Luke Dash Jr. Is it Dasher or Dash Jr.? Do you know how to say that? Anyway, someone was having a conversation with Luke privately, it looks like, on Signal. And Luke was asking, you know, questions about a hypothetical design. Well, allegedly was asking about a hypothetical design for changing what a node runner stores. Not actually forking away, but like you download a block and there's a transaction that has some kind of spam in it. And is there a way that like a sort of independent federation of people could signal to the person running the node that that is spam and they should not store it, but that it's valid. And that's basically what Luke is proposing, is like, I'm running a knots node. And rather than downloading a block that has some spam in it, I download a block that has, you can imagine, sort of a redacted section of it. But in that redacted section of the block, it's like this cryptographic thing that says that proves to me that transaction is actually valid, so that I know I'm actually still like using Bitcoin and I trust this block, but I don't have to myself look at or store the spam or the thing that I don't want in the block. And that's, you know, that's what Luke is discussing with someone here, allegedly, and someone who knows more about the zero knowledge proof stuff. But, you know, this is, it's kind of, yeah, it's a private conversation, and that's already kind of, you know, sus, not very cool to be sharing.
So this is where, this is for me, like this, this just goes back to why I always say I'm not on Signal or Telegram, because, you know, people try to
take you out of context.
Well, it's not even that. This is just goes back to why I always say, like, don't be on Telegram or Signal. This is why when founders come into PubLab and they go through like Startup Score, or they ask for my advice on this kind of stuff, there's no business that can be conducted in Signal or Telegram. Absolutely not. And this sort of thing happens all the time. And this is why I'm always telling founders, if you're doing business through Signal or Telegram, you probably should be doing business with those type of Bitcoiners. I'm just telling you, and this is what I tell founders, all business should be conducted through email. And this is why you'll have some Bitcoiners, I'm not calling them out, I'm just telling you the truth, this is how Carr feels, that will only do business through Signal or Telegram. And it's very sus to me when I see that. And that's why I tell founders, if you come through PlebLab, don't do business or make arrangements through Telegram or Signal. Do that through email and make sure that that is where the business is done.
What is your sense?
And so let me finish. This is where I'm trying to, this is where I always tell founders, if you come through PlebLab, make sure you're doing business stuff through email, because that's something that will be more appropriate. This is like, it's actual business conversation that's happening. And this is where it's like good to know what you're doing. Now, as far as like just conversations and stuff like this, like, I don't know what this is about. I don't know if this is related to Ocean. I don't know if this is related to his company or whatever he's doing. I don't know if this is just a conversation or whatever. I didn't read through this. This is like, to me, there's like a lot of different things going on here. There's his company that he runs with Ocean. There's him as a developer, open source contributor. Then there's him trying to put what they're saying here, that he's trying to do a hard fork. There's a lot of separate pieces here and a lot of different entities that are tied to this. But yeah, I think this is, if there's the stackers that are listening, if there's founders that are listening, this is why I do not get into like business conversations through Signal. This is why I tell people not to get to through business conversations through Signal or through Telegram. It's a bad idea. Stuff like this can happen. If there's any lesson that can be learned from this, is don't do business conversations or anything like that through Signal or Telegram. Go ahead, Ken. Sorry.
Oh, no. So I'm just wondering what makes email better. That was mostly what I was going to ask, because like if you're still doing
because email is a place where you do business, and you're probably not going to bring up, hey, I plan to hard fork Bitcoin, is all I'm saying. And it probably will have his business underneath that says like Ocean blah 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 or whatever.
Well, that's super sensible. So it's like you're thinking, because it's more long, emails are more long form, you're thinking more about your answers, and you're not just kind of, you know, distractingly shooting off messages about whatever, whenever. And so it keeps you disciplined to be using email versus one of these chat clients. I think it's actually very sensible, but that wasn't clear to me. I thought maybe you were speaking to a security thing or something else. So I think that is pretty good advice.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was this is all related or somewhat related to, that's coming up next. But the other thing that got released was the Jameson Lopp post, which is, it's not a serious project by Jameson Lopp. So this came out this week. This was like in the top, I guess it was the top five this week. Did you read this post?
I did read this post.
So this was just like another hit piece coming from Jameson Lopp, just tearing down Luke entirely. Like it read like somebody who was just very vindictive because of Luke said some bad things about Jameson. I don't know anything. I've never met these guys. But to me, when I read through this, I was just like, this is disgusting, dude. Like, why would you go out of like, look, the amount of research, the amount of time, the amount of attention, the amount of detail, the amount of screenshots, like this looks like somebody spent an inordinate amount of time really looking into this guy and like really going deep on this guy. Like, this is not something you just do like in a couple hours. No, this is something that you spend a massive amount of time putting together. And like that takes an enormous amount of like emotion and trigger. Like that, this is when I read this as somebody who is like very, 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 very like it just reads like an emotional piece to me. Sure, it looks like on the surface like it's not that, but like you don't spend that inordinate amount of time putting this together just to shoot off from the hip. And I'm just to me it's just like it's just disgusting, dude. Mm. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, so Lopp does this with literally every piece on Lopp's blog that you read has this level of detail in it. So I think it's the way he approaches any topic. And you could say he's going after Luke because of something else that happened, and Luke doesn't actually deserve, but like Lopp puts that much effort into anything, and maybe he shouldn't have put that much effort into that post. And I'm not saying I love that post or anything.
But this just goes back to what Bitcoiners do. So we were joking about it earlier, right? Like we get to say these things right now because no one watches this show, no one cares about this show, no one cares about us. We can say whatever we want. Only the stackers are listening, which is great. I love it. But the absolute truth is that in the space, it's a very kind of like a Game of Thrones world out there, right? There's like these people at the top that control the narrative, all these influencers, right? And they're the kind of people running the space, right? And then we have all these lowly people at the bottom. And then if you don't fall in line with them, like, guess what happens? Like, you get looped, right? Like, this is kind of what's going on with him. Like, he's getting looped. Like, you're basically become this guy. And this is kind of what happens when you don't fall in line with everybody. So like if there's anybody else that wants to step out of line, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get looped.
Well, so one thing I will say about that post is while it does like, I think, take a lot of things from the context they were in and catalog them and kind of stack them up as like, look at all of these offenses Luke has done, without maybe giving a lot of time or space to positive things that Luke has done. And so that I think is where maybe you could criticize the articles to not, it doesn't really paint a full picture, but I don't think that was the point. I think the point was to discourage people from running knots or paying much attention to Luke. And whether people should or not, I'm not really the person to say. What I mostly got from that when I was reading it is just how contrarian Luke is. He has like a superpower level of contrariness. He's like, it's incredible how willing he is to hold a point of view that is different than nearly every larger group. I thought that was pretty cool. So I came away with it from something positive about Luke. I think I would have, I where I didn't really like it was where it went into Luke's beliefs that don't relate to Bitcoin. I just felt like that was crossing the line for me. I think, you know, with regard to maybe Luke's development practices, I feel like that's fair game when trying to warn people away from implementation. But that it was when he went into kind of Luke's religious beliefs where I was like, maybe this is trying to hurt his character too much. But
to me,
this is just all drama, though. So
to me, when I look at all this, to me, it just looks like a coordinated attack on a guy. To me, it just looks more like the Charlie Kirk thing, to be honest. It's like, are you trying to stop a guy from saying what he wants and doing what he wants? Or are you just trying to stop him from pushing a narrative or because you're not able to control that narrative? You know what I mean? I don't mind the fact that he's doing whatever he wants to do. Like, let the best, you know, thing win, right? But I don't like when somebody on the outside from my position, from where I'm looking at, is getting bullied. I don't like that. Like, I do not like when people are getting bullied.
Even if they're a bully?
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing that Charlie Kirk was doing. It's like, let the guy speak his mind. Let the guy say what he wants. We're not, Bitcoiners are better than this. This is another thing that I kind of noticed in the Bitcoin space. We're all supposed to be unplugged from the matrix, but a lot of us are still plugged into the matrix, bro. It's the weirdest thing. And you see it time and time again, where a lot of people are very plugged into the matrix and they're still like, they're kind of like Cypher, where they're like on the outside, they're outside the matrix, but they're like Cypher, where they're like, they made this deal with Agent Smith and they're like, oh, ego is bliss. They're like eating their steak dinners and they're working with Agent Smith and they're like still plugged in. They're still outside the matrix, but they're plugged into working with Agent Smith. And there's a lot of people like that in Bitcoin where they're outside the matrix, but they're working with the agents to make sure that the matrix we don't get any more people out. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I see right now happening. It's like, oh, don't rock the boat. Like, we can't have any. And it's just very much like that. And that's what a lot I see in Bitcoin going on, especially this past couple of years, especially when the ETF has passed. A lot of people like Cypher in the matrix. A lot of people like that, where they're unplugged, but they're still plugged in because they're working hand in hand with these agent Smiths.
That's an I like the metaphor. I think that is pretty good, where I feel like there are a lot of people who haven't completely crossed over and ready.
No, they've crossed.
Ready to eat slop.
They're crossed over. They just don't want to eat the cereal that tastes like scrambled eggs.
They want to eat a fake steak.
That ego's bliss form. Or what is that? Not ego's, but ignorance is bliss form. Okay, yeah, let's go.
Rewatch the first Matrix. It's so good.
Number two.
Okay.
So some thoughts on Bitcoin Core developing funding. This is from Schmitty.
So this is another top post from Schmitty this week. I guess Adam Back, there was some thread on X where they were talking about developer funding, and Adam Back had a take on it, which he admitted was, you know, kind of removed from actually being knowledgeable about it. And so Schmitty stepped in and helped Adam Back, I think, understand what's going on. But he basically pointed to this report by 1A1Z, which lays out in great detail everything that's going on in Bitcoin developer funding, where the money's coming from, how much is getting spent a year. We spend about, I think in 2023, it was like 8.3, 8.4 million was spent on Bitcoin, direct Bitcoin funding. All the organizations involved, et cetera. And then the way Schmitty sees it, using Adam Back's points is to sort of jump off. And so we have 30 to 40 full-time engineers maintaining and hardening the network for the $2.5 trillion network is what he says. And he says that as like, that seems to be the right amount. Like, we have $2.5 trillion. You probably don't want fewer than 30 to 40 people on it full-time is what he says there. And then Adam Back also said that there's been too much funding and it's given to people without clear direction. And then Schmitty argues that you actually kind of were still underpaying the people. I mean, a lot of these developers are true wizards and could get paid a lot of money in industry. I've seen them in industry getting paid very well. And they usually take a huge pay cut to come and work on Bitcoin because they view it as important for, you know, the future and the world they care about. And so they work on it. And then, yeah, I think it's generally a kind, it's just kind of bringing Adam back up to date on, the state of the network. And if anyone's curious, or the state of, developer funding in Bitcoin, if anyone's curious, I would check out that one A1Z post as well. It has some graphs in there and some other details. I think one of the things that's like a little hard to look at is that it's something like 90% of the money. And even though we have many more like a developer funding nonprofits now in Bitcoin, 90% of the money comes from Jack Dorsey. But what's nice about that is the report says that they've talked to most of the organizations, and the organizations say sometimes it's contractually such that Jack Dorsey has no say over what they actually get to spend money on. But that is like one, that's probably the, we have a growing diversity of people funding Bitcoin, which is great. It's probably what we need. But while the organizations are diversified and the decision making about where the money is going is nice and decentralized, it's still like originating from one major donor. Well, then of course a lot of the developers, given that they're working for less money, are also are donating their time. I mean, there's a lot of people in Bitcoin who donate their time without getting compensation, and that's kind of hard to factor in. And that's maybe the more decentralized aspect of that. But anyway, that's the post.
Cool. It was funny because I went on the Build on Bitcoin podcast this week.
Mm. Is that a Breeze podcast?
No, it's a podcast by Lynn.
Alden?
No. Another VC, but she'd asked me my thoughts on like all the developer Bitcoin stuff and funding and all that stuff.
What's the one liner?
Oh, I had a really spicy take on it. And yeah, you got to tune in.
I knew you were going to do that. I was trying to get
it's coming out on Monday. Okay. But she was kind of shocked by my answer. She was like, "Really? Is that your?" I was like, "Yeah, that's my take on it."
Uh-oh.
So you have to check it out. It's coming out Monday. Build on Bitcoin.
Bitcoin podcast.
I was just being honest. I'm always honest about this stuff. And people don't want to hear honesty these days. So that's why they don't ask me. If you did, then you would want to hear.
Well, they don't want to hear things they disagree with.
Yeah, that's probably more what it is. And
I don't think they mind honesty as long as it's what they agree with.
And I just shoot straight from the hip, honestly. You know? Anyways, let's go to number one. The number one top story of the week is I read Luke Dash Jr.'s hit piece. This is from Udi. Kept for 17 comments, 3,362 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Udi's doing good things in Bitcoin temporarily. Helps clear up adds context, I think, a very important context to the Rage article, and lays out, you know, why it's like not actually a hard fork. And in one sense, you could consider it a hard fork, but in the sense that matters, it's actually not a hard fork. And so that's maybe what's important, is it's not actually a hard fork. Luke was just, because he was talking to someone he thought he could trust in chat, he's mentioned hard fork. Because in some sense you could consider it that way. And then Udi also, you know, I think is critical of the journalism here, where it's kind of unfair to maybe, it seemed like it was written maybe with a little bit of from a biased perspective, was not attempting to maintain the level of impartiality you would hope to see. And that's his, and then he also kind of does a point by point. I guess at one point I think he says there's a misinterpretation of one of the conversation, or one point in the conversation where Luke says that there are people who are writing letters advocating for illegal content, like, and trying to get people to buy into illegal content. I think there was a misinterpretation of Luke saying that they are talking to, they have their lawyers talking to other miners because Ocean has this mining pool. Man. And they're trying to figure out how those guys are thinking about spam and stuff. Dude,
this is where, like, Jimmy was so right. So we had Jimmy on for Bitcoin Builders Club earlier this month at Capital Factory. And we went through all this. And he basically, I don't know if you remember. Remember Jimmy was releasing takes right before the halvening? And he talked about this hard fork that was coming. He literally mentioned, if you go back and look through his Twitter, he literally had, because the whole Ordinals blow up was happening around that time, right before the happening with the mempool. And I remember his take about the hard fork that he predicted that was coming. And we, me and you, because I've been doing the DVD, we talked about a civil war that was happening, that was going to happen with all this. We predicted this too. We predicted a civil war in Bitcoin in 22, which is crazy.
But there's always a civil war in Bitcoin.
Anyway, but Jimmy actually predicted this hard fork in right before the halvening. And it's just crazy that a lot of this stuff, like when you really start looking at it, there's a lot of OGs, but there's OGs that actually know what's really going on. And once you start, you've been a Bitcoin for a long time, you realize which are the ones you actually should be listening to. And at least for me, like, people like Udi and these other guys, I don't even listen to them anymore. They're just smoke.
Well, you have to apply.
Just smoke you shouldn't listen to. Like Jimmy is somebody that I really pay attention to. And so when he was talking about that hard fork at the time, I really was just like kind of confused. I was like, why is that? And the more and more I pay attention to what Jimmy's saying, I realized that, like, he's actually been more right than wrong about this stuff. And he kind of called a lot of this hard fork stuff. And, at least for me, that's somebody I can look to, at least for, like, what's the actual temperature in the room and where is it kind of heading and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. At least that's how I feel about this. I don't know what's going on. I'm not technical enough to understand what's going on. So I'm going to wait and see. But
yeah. Anyway, I think this is a good take from Udi. And I think it does help put things in perspective. I think this is a sign that the people who are trying, you know, I think probably think of it as themselves defending themselves against Luke, who's calling everyone a liar and a child pornographer on X, that maybe that I think this is a sign that they are martyring Luke. And this is probably going to backfire. If you have Udi now, who is maybe the most on the other side of this debate as Luke is, Udi defending Luke now. So
firstly, Staggers, you shouldn't listen to anything Udi says. That's just Carr telling you from experience.
Udi likes to insert himself.
Oh, dude, it's stupid.
This is a good take.
I'm surprised it even made number one. It's just the dumbest thing ever. It's like, who's voting for this?
You have to be capable. You have to have the patience to, like.
No, you don't. Just don't listen to anything this guy says. He's like Beetlejuice. It's just like you say his name three times and he shows up. Like it's the stupidest thing.
Udi, it's
the dumbest thing. I'm just telling you from experience, Snackers. Like, this is the guy you should not be listening to. There's a couple people in Bitcoin that you should be listening to. He's not one of them. I'm just telling you from experience. Go ahead, get burned. I'm just telling you.
I think that's great general advice.
No, it's advice to follow.
Okay.
I'm telling you from experience.
Do other people get advice?
Go ahead.
I was just saying that I think that's great general advice if you don't have the patience and time. But there's a certain kind of person who I think benefits from, or who has the time and attention to, like, screen what is a high quality piece of signal and what is not. And that doesn't necessarily depend on it being, it doesn't matter what the origin is. It only matters on, like, the quality of the content.
I mean, if you're into shitcoins and stuff, then take his advice. But if you're not,
that's really not a fair interpretation of what I said. But
anyways, that's all the top five stories. We did it. Keon, we did it.
Oh, we got through it. Yeah.
We got through it.
Yeah, we only hate each other now.
No, I love you. we're going to jump into AI Bitcoin stuff. This is this week in AI. from Optimism. So he was talking about artificial generic super LARPs. Do you know what a super LARP is, Keon?
I would guess it's like a LARP, but super. What?
That's not true.
Oh.
No, it's not that. It's OpenAI ramps up robotics work in race toward AGI. I don't know if you saw this, but
yeah,
you did see it.
Yeah, I have a friend. Well, I saw the title. I did not. This is the closest I get to
locked it.
Covering AI stuff. But a friend of mine who's very into AI stuff was telling me he thinks that AGI will really only happen when robots are given bodies so that they can basically gather data kind of like humans do. And that
like from different sensory inputs.
Different sensory inputs. And you basically have a constant stream of data rather than having it fed in.
I actually think we're like less than 18 months from that outside our door. Like
really?
No, I really think so.
You think we're going to get AGI in 18 months?
No, I think we're going to get like robotics with different sensory inputs like by South by next year. Like we'll see like a robot walking down with the next big startup doing
Will you get one?
No,
I know it's like kind of like the Siri. It's like kind of like Alexa, but like worse. They can like kill you.
No, it'll start off with like a cute little robot that like a BB-8 like a or puppy. Something like a R2-D2 that would just be dumb.
Little puppy bot.
That's how I want my robots, just like stupid and like trash cans, you know?
Okay, you want like a smart trash can?
Yeah, like basically a smart trash can. That's the kind of robots we want to build in Pleb Lab. Just dumb trash cans.
That sounds about right.
They just go beep, boop, 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 boop.
I don't know. It'd be pretty cool to have a robot along.
That he just like a dumb trash can that just sends lightning transactions, you know? That'd be cool.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, yeah. You get like charged if you put too much trash
in. That's probably the robots we'll build out of here. The ones that are just like, just dumb robots. The other one I wanted to bring up was this. Or hang on. Let me go back. This one, 11 Labs has launched Studio 3.0, a video clip audio editor. So, dude, remember I was telling you how this is just getting more advanced? So they released this really cool...
11 Labs proudly introduces Studio 3.0.
This thing here, it's called...
you can now harness all
you can
of
now start really video editing inside editor. The browser now.
Now
dude.
With full video Looks integration.
Really, really cool.
Did so they make this video?
The ability to add brand new voiceovers?
Sure. But you can already do this in Riverside.
And bring
but
it to
this
life.
Is this goes to the, another extreme. So this is where I was telling you, I was like, I'm really bullish on this kind of stuff. Like,
and with speech correction, you can
sound pretty great. Audio
it sounds really great, yeah. But this is really cool. I saw.
Is launching this
anyway, but you can check out the demo. I want to play with this weekend at some point. I'm always into this kind of stuff because it's really cool. But they even have an API too. So if anybody's building some cool tools, you can even import it to use it, which is really cool. I thought that'd be really interesting.
That so is 11, pretty, yeah.
11 Labs.
They're kind of leading the way with audio, right?
Is that the same company, the one that we keep talking about, the other one?
There's several of them now. It's hard to keep track of them. There's so much going on. But I know 11 Labs was big. They were like one of the, I would see them referenced a lot in audio things. I think a lot of people were like, they were writing books in ChatGPT. I don't mean the scare quotes are maybe wrong. They were writing books, and then they were in any way that they would write them, and then they would have them like read by 11 Labs, is my understanding.
Yeah, I was thinking about Cascader with it when I saw this. I was like, damn, this would be cool to see in Cascader. Anyways, yeah. The other one was when I bring up was this one. Google's top AI scientist's most needed skill will be learning how to learn. I feel like you've said this multiple times whenever we talk about AI was like, these Gen Zers are probably not going to be able to know how to learn.
Mm.
And the guy said the exact same thing. I'm going to watch this. Where is it at? Oh, I had a video earlier, I thought. There's a video here somewhere.
Hmm.
Anyway, leading Google scientist and recent Nobel laureate has highlighted learning how to learn as a paramount skill for future generations, just given how artificial intelligence has already impacted. He said, it's very hard to predict the future, like 10 years from now. In a normal cases, it's even harder today, given how fast AI is changing, even week by week. The only thing you can say for certain is that huge change is coming. He goes, one thing we'll know for sure is you're going to have to continuously learn throughout your career. Yeah, what do you think about that, Keon?
Oh, that's definitely fair. Yeah, I think, the other side of this is I know there are some people whose, I think some people's capacity to change a lot is lower than other people's. And I think this technology will not serve them very, like the rapid change that they're describing will be harder for them to deal with. And some of the AI doomers that I know, that's one thing they talk about a lot is like, okay, yeah, you're saying that when all these AIs come, we'll just like retrain everyone to do something else. And they're like, there are some people who won't be able to do that. And I think that's fair. It's probably like 50% of people are too like kind of conservative in self where they have trouble changing. I think that is pretty sketch. And I do think, you know, it's very possible that like one take to have on AI is like, this is like every other technology and it's going to do the exact same thing where it just makes things better and we all panic about it before. But it's, you know, there will be a black swan type of technology that really, it really does change everything and really does make everything work. Like there is a potential for that in like the possibility space. And AI seems like a good candidate for being that. It does suggest there is more going to be more change than most other technologies should it improve at the rate people expect it to improve. So
yeah, I agree. I think we've had our big kind of like internet moment for AI. We haven't had the like iPhone moment yet, but maybe with all the, robots. You know, maybe the wearable stuff and the, you know, all the spatial stuff will kind of, maybe that'll be the, when the iPhone moment comes. And then that'll, when what you're talking about is when everything will change. We'll see. Interesting stuff, though.
Yeah.
I love hearing about it and talking about all this stuff. It's just fascinating.
The Peanut Gallery says that we are going to become electricians.
Whoa.
To be
there's no Peanut Gallery employee.
Well, I don't even know. Is Peanut Gallery a bad word?
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Oh, it's a bad thing. I didn't know. Okay. The Steak Gallery says...
Steak Gallery.
Says that... says that everyone's going to be an electrician fixing data centers because, like, that's going to be the only thing that's left. Is we're going to.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Whoa.
Pizza delivery.
We're going to jump into Wumble's Picks.
Send your kids to college to Wumble's deliver
Picks.
Pizza.
We're going to jump into Wumble's Picks.
Wumble's Picks.
So, Wumble's Picks is Sats on Lightning during a soft hard fork. Man, he's just really going for it.
Yeah.
What is this about?
He's picking. Let's say you and I establish a Lightning channel. And then there's a hard fork on Bitcoin.
Oh, good one. Wumble's Picks.
Yeah. Well, what happens? Because Lightning operates under the assumption that we are basically looking at the same blockchain.
Well, that's all off. It's a multi-sig, so, right?
Yeah, it's a multi-sig.
Yeah.
But then there's a hard fork. And
that doesn't affect it.
Well, what happens on, let's say you start running the hard fork and I don't.
Well,
what
happens now? Well, who created the... Well, it's about who opened the channel to the other person, right? That's how that works?
No, well, the hard fork will carry the history. So the hard fork will still have the history where...
Shitcoin network and one on the real Bitcoin.
So the stake gallery says that you have two Lightning channels now. One on the bad network, or one on the network that one person wants and the network the other one doesn't want. And that is kind of what you end up having. But I think in practice, it's more complicated. There's a great, this was asked a few years ago on the Bitcoin Stack Exchange. Yeah, and we get a couple of answers where people describe what we're likely to kind of see in practice. But in short, like in anticipation of the hard fork, most people would probably, if they're afraid of something bad happening, they would probably close their channels. And then even the case where one person is running one hard fork and the other one is running, maybe the original Bitcoin Classic, let's say.
gross. I just almost threw up my mouth.
I know.
Gosh, I haven't heard that in a long time.
I know, right? And then, they're running that one. What happens during hard forks usually is they share mempools and, they end up kind of, at least for transactions that are replayable on each other's networks, meaning they are compatible. They are consensus compatible on each other's networks. They end up kind of sharing those transactions because they kind of bleed over on the peer-to-peer network. And I think you also have people who assume the role of sort of relaying these kind of cross-compatible transactions. So that's what we've seen in the past when people didn't kind of expect it, is a lot of bleed into each other's mempools and hard forks. So that's one thing they kind of list. And so you would likely see if someone tried to, someone's running the other fork and they try to force close you on that fork, you would likely see that happen and be able to respond to it, at least on the chain, you know, at least such that on the chain that you care about, you were able to step in and, you know, cheat, basically, what do they call it? It's not revocation. It's what? Justice. There you go. The justice transaction. You would be able to submit the justice transaction and do justice. And then, yeah. So it's actually not, it's not as bad as you'd think. It's maybe messy. I think there are situations, depending on what takes place in the fork, it might be quite bad. But it's not, it's not as bad as I thought going at, going in and looking at this deeper. It's actually force close on the shitcoin network. Try to steal the other person's funds because you don't care about the money anyways, and then you sell it on an exchange to get the real Bitcoin. No, well that's well that's kind of my point, is like that would end up in a mempool, and those mempools are, bleed into each other during a hard fork. Because they're, it's compatible, it's likely replayable on either chain. So it's actually consensus valid. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think there might be a scenario where someone on that shitcoin network submits directly to a miner and it gets mined, and you don't, you never see it because it never enters a mempool, or yeah, for whatever reason. This is a hypothetical
So what do you do? Does everybody close their lightning channels before a hard fork? Is what you're saying?
That's one way that you can, if you. If you want to avoid any trickiness during a hard fork that could possibly arise in a lightning channel, yeah.
Look at the problems we already have. Yeah. So State Gallery, are we closing our lightning channels before a hard fork? Is that what we're doing?
No.
No, but I'm saying in would we close our, would the plebs close their hard fork? Okay, there you go.
Fuck no, I'd open more and I'd arbitrage.
Okay, the State Gallery, how they came to earn the term State Gallery is what happens during one of these scenarios is they open other channels and then they do force closures on the and cash out the coins is what they say on the other chain.
Oh, interesting.
But I mean, if you really were paranoid about this kind of thing, you could run the fork and monitor the fork for any weirdness. But
this, like, could be really interesting.
Yeah, but you likely don't care about the coins on the fork anyway. So if they force,
well, they're dividends, the fork, Keon. Now, like you didn't get a piece of the Bcash hard fork when that happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, you want a little.
Those are nice dividends.
Fork dividends. Yeah, dude.
That got turned into Bitcoin, baby. Anyways.
Yeah. So it's kind of complicated. I think if you, there are a variety of ways that it can go, but in general, it's not as bad as I thought it was. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I would go to. There's a great post on Stack Exchange.
Wumble's Picks.
Merch Answers.
Wumble's Picks.
I would check that out.
I would just say, Stackers, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Wait, see. But Keon, what do you say? Get prepared.
I would say it's worth thinking about things, even if there's no action to take.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's Keon's advice. Oh, what'd you say? Oh, there you go.
State Gallery says it's propaganda from Deep Core. We have the Deep State. We also have Deep Core.
Is that a thing now?
I just made that up. I was wondering.
Oh, wow. On the spot. Look at you.
Yeah.
Shooting from the hip now.
Have I
rubbed off on you too much? You're shooting from the hip?
Oh, you're going to take credit for Deep Core?
I know. I'm just saying, you never shoot from the hip.
Are you on a VPN if you're not on a VPN? Oh, yeah. Gotta get off this.
Anyways, so let's go the. That was Wumble's Picks. We're gonna go into. Hey, you're shaking the table.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry. We're gonna jump into my picks. I wanted to share this one. This is a Nirvana video. Hopefully, we don't get pulled. But this is a Nirvana video that Nakamoto Ventures, which originally, not Tamales, 0x Bitcoiner shared. Did you know they played in
Austin?
Yeah, they played in Austin down the street here.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I didn't know that either. They played at the Paramount. But they
theater's still there. Like,
yeah, well, I didn't know they played there. And this got shared. I watched this like earlier this week. It was like 3 days ago or 4 days ago. And they played there.
I've never been in it, actually.
I've only been in it one time. But it
looks like a great theater.
But yeah, when he shared that, I was like, that's funny because I literally watched it. It was a good concert. I just wanted to share it too because I thought it was really cool. We don't talk about music too much on the show, but that YouTube channel, Art Concert, I think it's called. They should have a lot of really cool.
They do a good job.
They do a really good job curating like songs.
Did they remaster it? Like,
I don't know. See, I don't know why this didn't get released as a DVD or something, or not DVD. Like, I didn't know why this didn't get released like through Nirvana itself. Like, this should have been like the, because it's like an hour.
Could have been the hole in his head obstructing. I know.
Come on.
Too soon?
No, it's just like not
too far.
Poor taste.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was really good. They have some really cool scenes. Yeah, there's this part where I think he talks about at the end where he just like destroys. Yeah, he destroys his guitar.
I want to play guitar just so I can smash.
Dude, that's right. The best part. Look. He's just like, look. Kurt's just like, doing it, dude.
I wonder if guitar makers are like offended. Or maybe because they'd probably get richer, but.
No, because you would get those for free. You know, a lot of that stuff is just for free.
Then I'd be offended.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's just like when I used to play music, like my guitarist knew he was going to get a new guitar, so he was just like, hey, I'm going to break it, this one, you know? Same thing with the drummer. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get
my drum.
Yeah, I'm going to do it, yeah. You see, that one, you don't know if that belongs to the venue itself, because sometimes the venues are going to charge you for breaking their thing.
Yeah, what a great time.
They probably never got invited again, though.
Do a bunch of heroin and then, like, destroy stuff.
Well, man. According to Dave Grohl, there was, like, the people that did drugs in that group, and then there were people that didn't, so... You don't know.
Yeah, I imagine most of them.
Anyway,
so like a diverse.
Look at that.
Oh, wow.
Oh man, that's probably worth a lot of money. Anyways, thought that was cool.
Might be worth more now.
Oh man, he hit himself.
Collector's item.
Anyways, thought I'd share that. The other one was I wanted to share our startup day. Yucatan. This got shared by my favorite Bitcoin news outlet, Bitcoin News, the only place to get high signal in Bitcoin.
This is the real front page of Bitcoin. We're just going to start.
I know. I'm just saying, like, Bitcoin News, like, they don't pick sides. They're not sharing slander things. They're just reporting news, like, what they're supposed to be doing. Like, turns out that's actually a net benefit. It's weird. Turns out when you're just professional, it's actually good for business. Anyways, so they shared our PR for the Yucatan. So that's coming up in 12 days. We have a lot of really cool stuff happening, a lot of speakers, and yeah, I just want to share it with the Stackers. We're really proud of what we've been able to do.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really a lot of fun. I was talking to Francisco about it today, and yeah, we're excited, dude. It's going to be a blast. If there's anybody in the area, they should definitely head over. A lot of us from Pueblo are heading over there, and then it's going to be a blast. I'm excited. Just wanted to share that. And then the other one I wanted to share was the early days episode. We dropped this on the Builder Territory like 2 days before, I think, or maybe the night before. So this is Ted. So Ted actually came into Club Lab like a year and a half ago. Didn't know how to code, didn't know how to do anything. He was just really good at, what would you say his skill sets were?
I would say he's good at, like, I think he's a pretty good systems thinker. I would say he was doing
previous founder.
He was doing sales. Yeah. He'd come from like an aeronautical background. Is I think what he studied. And so
deep thinker.
Yeah. Think like very, very
Bitcoiner.
Yeah. I think, you know, very multifaceted.
Way more based now.
Quite based. He's also gone from like kind of nerdy Ted to like sexy Ted.
Super bearded now.
Yeah, he's got a beard. He's got a bachelor pad now.
Definitely a bachelor pad.
And a high rise. He's ready.
Single, ladies, if you're out there.
Oh, yeah. He probably has a spreadsheet for when he was planning his, like, coming out as a bachelor.
Anyways, we're all hyping up Ted. Anyway, so he's doing Feed Filter AI, which is this really cool AI company, and he has a really cool plan. And wanted to share this pod that we recorded with him. But this is here where he talks about it and we just go through it.
Or was that before?
No, we recorded this like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
But I wanted a time to release because he's also going to be
almost like pre-sexy tech.
Yeah, he's also going to be doing an announcement at Startup Day in the Yucatan. So should be good. If you're interested, check it out. Really cool stuff on AI. And then I think that's all it for me. You didn't have any posts because why again?
Oh, because I do Wumbo's picks and Wumbo's picks.
Wumbo's picks.
I need to like readjust my time to pick out the best things. I mean, there are things that I were drawn to this week, but yeah. I did not select them for the pod.
I wanted to share EK's post because I thought this was in the top five. Turns out it wasn't, but EK is going to be speaking at Bitcoin Plus Plus. Woo, doggy! EK, you made it. Did you know this, Kia?
I did know this. EK has been telling me about it for a while, and
he's super excited.
Dude, gave him some inside baseball for stuff he wasn't.
You tell him what is he going to be speaking about? Do you know?
He's going to be talking about the difficulties of making a non-custodial Lightning app.
Oh, I thought he was just going to be talking about Germany and about all the cool stuff that's going on.
What, like Schnitzel?
No, I'm kidding. So everybody was trying to get him to wear your cowboy hat, but he's probably too shy to do that.
Oh, he would probably wear it.
Oh, he would.
How am I going to get it to him, though?
Is he going to wear his mask?
In Germany, I am not in Germany.
You could fold that in an envelope. You could probably fold it.
I don't think it's that. When they sent it to me, it was not.
Yeah, maybe Plebpoet can send it to him. I don't know. Anyway, so he's working on his presentation. And yeah, there you go. That's his mask he's going to be wearing. So if you see him in that mask.
Yeah, he's going. It's a costume conference, and he's going dressed as Luke Dasher.
Yeah. So it's a Bitcoin Plus Plus Stacker News edition, right?
Nope. It's a Lightning edition.
Lightning edition.
Back.
EK edition.
Back to Lightning stuff.
But yeah, check out EK. He's going to be at Bitcoin Plus Plus this year. And then the other one I want to share was this one. EK is flying. What? Did you know this?
Did know that.
So the whole time I've been hanging out with EK, we hung out so many times. He never once said he wanted to fly. Never once told me. He never brought it up. Not once.
Oh.
Yeah, I was shocked. But he talked about he signed up for flight school.
Yep.
Turns out he wants to fly a plane, Kian. What do you think about this?
I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He was telling me about it. I think, you know, it's
this could be good for us.
Oh, it's true. We could have a little private like jet situation.
I mean, Stacker News could be a flight school at some point, or it could have its own flight company.
Yeah,
what do you call it? Like airline? Stacker News Airlines?
It's like in high school when your friend gets a car and like you don't have a car yet and you bum rides. We're going to be like that with EK.
EK could technically, like if shit hits the fan, we could all just go to EK's house and you could say, EK, we need to load up the plane. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go, EK. Like, EK, yeah, I'm moving out of my apartment.
He got all his gear. Look at him. He got all his gear. And, yeah, super bullish. I was shocked that he wanted to fly. We never talked about flying at all. I was shocked.
Hmm.
Did he ever talk about flying with you?
Yep.
Oh, he did. Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I just talked too much and I never let him talk.
He mentioned it, I think, a few years ago to me. And then I didn't really take it super seriously. I thought he was just like vaguely interested. And then when he was here, actually in Austin, he was telling me about him wanting to do that as like a hobby type of thing. And I was like, oh,
Do you think it's hard flying a plane?
I would guess it's probably more complicated than driving a car.
Do you think it's harder than some of these, like a tractor,
harder than a tractor for sure. I think it's more dangerous, you know?
Like, you think so?
Yeah. Cause like you aren't on the ground.
What if you're just wearing a parachute? You're like, always jump out.
You're like fighting your natural state when you're in a plane.
Yeah.
That's kind
of more than you think it's harder than a ship.
Yeah, I would say it's harder than a ship. What about? I've been on a lot of ships.
Space travel. You think it's harder than space travel?
I would say no. I would say space travel. It depends on what you mean by hard, but yeah, it's also like the more inhospitable the environment, the more dangerous it is.
Space travel's harder.
It's like scuba. It's like
It's harder than diving in the ocean.
I would say those are probably comparable.
Oh, submarine-ish stuff, and then
If you're like really under the water,
yeah, that's a good point.
Sketch. Really high in the air, sketch. Yeah. You know, you kind of just want, if you want to be safe, you want to be on the ground for the most part.
I don't know if I would get in a plane with EK unless it was like end of the world type of scenario.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
Would you get it? What if Ted was a flu?
I don't think if anybody I knew that was flying.
It's just about, but you know, there's like, you've been on planes, like commercial planes.
Where if I knew those guys, I wouldn't be on the plane.
Probably terrible people. I know.
That's crazy, right? Yeah. Oh man, it's so funny. But anyways, I thought that was cool. I'm so happy for him. Yeah. The other one was, you guys had a SN release C-Link wallet.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
This is a Shocknet's like alternative to NW.
Shocknet.
Yeah.
He also has a announcement at Startup Day, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know Shocknet was going on.
Shocknet. Mexico. Yeah. Let's go, baby.
Habla Espanol.
Habla Espanol. He does.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're getting all the real ones there. So what are you, what's here?
Yeah, so this is like, you can kind of think of C-Link as like an alternative to NWC. It uses Nostr still, is my understanding, but it does not, it has, I think, a better UX than I think NWC. NWC has like kind of this crazy wild string with a bunch of characters, and C-Link has, I would say, you know, it's kind of like a Nostr profile link. Like when you, like you're a node ID or something like that is what it is. I think there's a number of other features he's added, and you know, places where he thought NWC had deficiencies and improved upon them. Managed to add that to our list of growing wallets, and that's
awesome.
Basically the little release we had.
Yeah, our guy was working with him on some of the Pleb TV stuff. We still need to finish a lot of that stuff, but from what Darren was telling me, it's really easy working with Justin and his team implementing things. So super bullish on him and what he's got building over there. He's one of those guys, believe it or not, like he says a lot of spicy things, but when it comes down to actually building and
he cares,
working with him and stuff, like on the business side of things, super easy to work with, super easy to build a relationship with as far as like on the business stuff. This is where I think a lot of people don't recognize this stuff. They take a lot of, I'll just say from my own experience, like they take a lot of stuff like the hardcore Bitcoiners, the one that are like a little bit more spicier and then like actually tell the truth. They may be that way, like, you know, in public, but when it comes to actually working with them on the business side of things, those are
They're
teddy bears, and those are the people that actually you do want to work with. And then the ones who are like out there saying salacious things, and those end up turning out to be like at least from my experience. But anyway, Justin's always a pleasure to work with. Really cool stuff. Cool. And then we got the Stacker News zine. What's this?
Yeah, so this is another week of the zine.
Wow, this is like an ancient relic.
Oh, yeah. Is
this keys?
Apparently, Pleb Poet made a Stacker News stamp. She has like a stamp making kit, and she made a Stacker News stamp by hand, carved it out.
Wow. Stamped it out.
Yeah. That's it.
Is that with linoleum?
Linoleum?
Yeah. How did she make the stamp?
Oh, I think it's just like a rubber, like carvable rubber. She has like a rubber carving kit, and she can make it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's what she did. And that's issue 300. I think we probably send that one to Blockchain Boo. Give them that
special. Keep your drama on X. That's awesome. SNIRL1@TabComp7. Let's Evan go. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of
elderberries. Is that a quote from something? I'd be surprised if my mother was a hamster, to be honest.
Yeah. Really cool stuff. Just
to be super clear.
Cool.
And
she said next week no zine.
Yep, we're gonna have another missing floor in the zine building.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
And then I think that's all we got. Where else we got here? Yeah, I think that's it. Let's go to the top. Cowboys, baby. This has been a quick show. Keon, you ready for the Top Cowboys?
We didn't have a guest today. Yeah, Top Cowboys. Look at that. Same.
You put on your hat. Or?
So, right. Thank you for reminding me.
What's going on here? The most popular segment deserves the most popular hat.
That's right. I forget. I forget sometimes to show my flair.
The number one, numero uno hombre, is Siggy 47. You think Siggy ever is going to get dethroned?
It's possible.
Is it just his full-time job at this point to be on Stacker News?
No, I mean, it doesn't require a full-time job to keep
what do you think his daily habits are with Stacker News?
I would say probably comes and checks it.
In the morning. Then he watches Breedlove with his wife.
Yeah, or his wife watches Breedlove alone.
Then he watches with her, and then he's back on Stacker News.
Yeah. The State Gallery says, don't let your wife watch Breedlove.
You ever watch Robert Breedlove, Keon?
Alone? Clothed? Whoa. Clothed or not unclothed?
Whoa.
The State Gallery has outed me as a...
Then we got Coup number 2, Undisciplined number 3, Blockchain Book number 4, Gray Ruby, Coins Reporter, Public Enemy number 7, Stacker High number 8. I think everything's split the same. I think Optimism went up one, maybe.
Could have, but who would he have dethroned?
I think Scoresby went up. I think everybody went up one.
I really needed.
We need somebody to keep track of this stuff.
Oh, we need to do it algorithmically. It should be easy. Not easy.
What else we got?
It should be something we could do.
Let Poet went up 23. HN.
GMD at 22. Dying.
Aardvark is climbing. Yeah, I think everybody went up one or something.
Okay.
Who else we got? South Korea Lightning. Nunya. Nunya's climbing. Kepford. Shocknet got 37. Who else we got? We got the
Webster in there.
Oh, JB55 is back.
Plunda.
Oscar's back. Peter Todd, usual spot. Knitter has an account. When did that happen?
I think that's the bot. That's the Knitter bot.
Oh, okay.
Someone must have zapped it. I think it has a bug in it.
Ted Thizzy, look at that. We got Ted Thizzy. He's the one that did the boost on his post this week. I got him back to Stacker News with his. I told him I was going to drop it on Stacker News early, so he can't.
Maybe that's the third dimension we have: Tiz, Riz, and Thiz. But what is Thiz?
Thiz is when you have Tiz and Riz, maybe.
The combo. No, that has to be an independent thing.
No.
Yeah, we have to come up with that because Thiz is pretty good. It's a good combo.
You got Cascader 89. I think I still have that bot blocked. I think.
Which bot?
The Cascader bot? Is that the one that's like
the chat bot?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I still have that one blocked. I'd have to check.
Were people using it against you?
No, it's just annoying. Just an annoying bot.
You can go to your mutes now. We can look at them.
No, I don't want to.
I always got you.
I mean, we could if you want to. We got Socks. Sooks. What's Socks coming out with next?
Oh, Socks is, you mean for work?
Yeah.
Like what he's working on? He's working on editor stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That should be good.
He's doing a great job.
Sooks.
I'm really excited.
Sooks. Sooks. Man, you got EK doing a conference. You got Sooks dropping off some more stuff.
I mean, they're
just rocking and rolling at this point.
Yeah, but they're
what do you even do at this point?
I mean, I wear this hat.
Now you're just a podcast influencer.
I wear this hat. Yeah. I do this podcast. A lot of Wombo's picks, a lot of work.
Man,
I know. I wish I.
Jeez, look at you,
dude. It's not easy.
Doing Wombo's picks. Kidding. You're doing the migration or something?
Yeah, it is. Bonkers. In the butt. Yeah, but
that's funny. Okay, that's cool. That's all the top Cowboys. Let's jump into where am I at? I lost it. Ooh, all right. Let's go down here. We got Fountain Boost this week from Blockchain Boog. And then we got P.S. Yes, he's back.
Dude, yeah,
he wasn't watching us for a while, right?
Yeah,
he's back.
Wonder how we got back on the radar.
Probably because we did the 6102 Bitcoin last week.
Oh.
It got all back. It got the hardcore Maximus listening to us again.
Okay.
We've always been hardcore. Nothing's changed. It's just that, you know, I think we cover AI too much, but...
Oh,
I mean, it's because we're from Austin. I mean, there's a big AI boom happening.
AI is like the other big thing that's kind of going on in the world. Whether you think it's good or bad, it is like.
Actually find it fascinating. It's in our backyard. It's like we kind of have to cover it. There's two places where AI is happening. I don't know. You tell me, Keon. It's like San Francisco and in Austin, and like, where else is it happening? I mean, it's happening all over the world, but there's like, as far as like founders and like, the boom of it.
The boom. Yeah, I don't know. Do you know any big AI companies that are here?
Dude, they're all at Capital Factory.
Okay.
There's just a ton of people startups. Yeah, startups that are just building.
Yeah. I would guess, yeah. There'd be
it's the same thing that we saw in 21 with the Web3 stuff. It was just like everywhere.
Yeah.
They do the same thing.
They do pick up, they do get a lot of founders who are into like the latest thing. And this would be the latest thing and much healthier than
Web3 stuff. It's way healthier. I can't wait till the robotic stuff takes off. Interested in seeing trash cans that move.
The smart trash cans.
Anyways, great to have PS back. And then we got Vake with a comment. He said, stay safe.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, you stay in your lane, you stay safe. I think that's good.
That's pretty much it. Keon, what are you doing? What are you doing this weekend?
I'm probably doing nothing surprising. I will be likely just continuing the work that I'm doing. And nothing special.
Nothing special, really.
That's what I might do yoga because I missed some days this week. So I kind of feel like I need it. It's kind of weird because what you do, you go to yoga, you do yoga, and then you start feeling a lot better. You start feeling more at peace and stuff. And then I'm just like better in general. And then, but then you get used to it and it becomes kind of boring to be in that state of mind, and you kind of, and then so you stop, but then you start to feel like,
there are a lot of farts in yoga. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people doing farts in there.
There was a guy in one of my classes who like left in the middle and went to the bathroom.
So that does happen, right? Like you're just behind a dude and he's just farting the whole time.
Yeah. There are like stretches you can do. It's not just a yoga thing, but even outside of yoga, you can, the stretches you can do to help your bowels kind of get going.
But do people just fart the whole time? Is that why they blast the music so loud?
No, I don't think they do fart. I've never actually heard someone fart in a yoga class before.
I always wondered that. I've never done yoga before, but like always wondered if that's what goes on.
I think people are pretty polite today.
So people don't fart in yoga.
As I said, I haven't encountered it yet.
Okay.
But today the instructor is both pregnant and
she farts.
There was someone who was in who was a student in the class who also was pregnant. I thought that was pretty
cool. They were farting.
No farts.
Okay, so there's no farting in.
So even when they have two people, they have one person inside of them as a person, they're not delivering extra.
No, I always thought that was the thing. That's why I was just like, always.
You thought people went to yoga and it's just a fart?
No, I thought it was just like a fart fest, you know? Because like those stretches, dude, you know? You know?
I don't know.
But maybe people used restroom before. Maybe that's why there's no farts.
I don't really. You're kind of, it's like, do you fart in the middle of a run?
Sometimes, yeah.
Like, it's pretty, you're pretty, like, gassy. Pretty intent on your body.
Maybe it's because, maybe it's just Mexicans because I eat a lot of beans and rice and stuff.
Oh, that's probably it. Yeah, Mexican yoga is probably super.
Oh, that's probably super farty. I only go to that. Yeah. It's just like bean burrito farts, you know.
What are you doing this weekend? Let's move on. This is a worse segment than the cab.
I got to do some Stacker News Live DVD stuff. I got to see if these DVDs will burn.
Do we know what the cover looks like yet?
Oh, yeah. So Pleb Poet took some pictures and stuff. So I basically finished the DVD. It's complete. Like, I watched it all the way through. It's so good. Like, it's one of those things where it's like when you make it, kind of reminds me of a different way of making. It's different than making an album because I've made music before. It's different than that. It's different than making like a
video. It's like a mixtape?
No, but I'm saying it's different than it kind of. Yeah, you know, it kind of reminds me of like. Do you ever make like an iMovie thing for your family?
What family?
Oh gosh. Dang, that's sad. Okay, it kind of reminds me of that. It kind of reminds me of making like an iMovie for like my family. We did that with my mom growing up. This is what it reminds me of, but I'm doing it for like the Stackers and Stacker News Live and for you and for everybody. Like it kind of reminds me of that. So there's a lot of heart in it, a lot of car heart in it, like and then Wumble's helped too and Play Poet. So it's definitely a community thing. But so yeah, you'll definitely feel that in there. And then but yeah, it's a really cool, it's a good sit. It's a good sit.
Well, yeah, we'll have to sit through it, or I'll have to sit through it. You've already sat through it.
Sat through it once. I couldn't sit through it again, but I'm excited to sit through it with y'all to see what y'all think. Hopefully there's no boring parts, but I'll drop the trailer this week on I'll drop it tonight if I can, or maybe tomorrow. Maybe I don't know if I'm going to be here that late, but I'll drop the trailer on Fountain first.
Can we include did you already make the trailer?
I'm going to make it. I need to make it either tonight or tomorrow and then drop it. And then I'll drop it on Stacker News.
I want to call
next week.
I want to make like a video at some point in the future, just so we have this recorded. I want to make a video called, I want to make a Stacker News Live trailer where it's just a video of an actual trailer that is owned by Stacker News Live.
What does that mean?
It's an actual trailer. It's like a, you know, like a
physical trailer?
Like a physical trailer. The Stacker News trailer, it's a video of the Stacker News trailer.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying.
It's sort of punny, you know?
Like the trailer that goes on the road is what you're saying?
Yeah, like that. But we call it a Stacker News Live trailer. And everyone's like, okay, this is going to be a trailer.
That we take on the road?
No, but they're gonna think it's like a preview, like for a movie or something. And really, it's just a video of our like literal trailer.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what you're saying, but sure.
Yeah,
you're going too tiz on me.
I'm sorry. Where's the Whisperers at? Where have they all gone home? They usually get out of the office pretty early on a Friday.
Yeah.
All the Whisperers.
Anyway, yeah. So we got that coming up this weekend. So look for that to drop, and then I'll drop it on Stacker News Live or Stacker News next week. And then then we're off to TabConf in a couple weeks. That should be fun. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Looks like everything's slowly moving together. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I don't think so. Did you say what you were going to do this weekend already?
Oh.
Well, you saw the video.
Yeah, just going to work on all that stuff because we have a lot of stuff for startup day I need to do for all that stuff. And then, just a lot of work. Mostly just work stuff, basically.
We still got a couple weeks till.
Yeah, we got like 12 days, so we got to get a lot of stuff done.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of emails to send out.
Woo Delgis.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a really fun 2 weeks with startup day and then TapConf. It's going to be a lot of cool fun times, man. A lot of fun times ahead.
Yeah.
Especially going into the fall. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the weather starts getting good. Mm-hmm. When you're in Texas, especially, and then all the fun starts happening because all the kids go back, mm-hmm. and all the parent Bitcoiners start hanging out again.
Yeah, that's why it's so sad to see everybody fighting. You know, in the space, it's just like, dude, we should be getting along right now. But I don't know.
At least, I mean, what's kind of cool is like the fight isn't about anything substantive, and so that's almost like a good sign.
What do you mean?
Like the fight is like about this like peripheral issue. I heard.
Yeah, that's what's kind of weird. It's just like they're putting their egos in the middle of all this. It's like they can't fight on the facts of it all. Do you know what I mean? Like on the technical facts. So they have to resort to the mudslinging. That's where I'm kind of like, I don't like.
Yeah, there's been a lot of mudslinging, and that isn't great. But I think just it's a lot of energy being put into something that's, I think, not a very significant one. So that's, you know, but I think, you know, if you train to be a warrior, you want to fight. You just want to fight all the time. Everything, you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail type of thing.
But this is where I'm just like, dude, like, and we saw it earlier. I forget which comment it was, like, leave it on Twitter. It's like, this is why I'm off of Twitter and I use Feed Filter for whenever I do log on. It's just like filtering all that stuff out is better. And even muting stuff on Stacker News is helpful too, because I don't need to see that stuff. Like, I don't need to see that stuff. It makes my life better to operate in this environment where it doesn't help me, like, to get my job done and for what I need to do to stay productive in Bitcoin. Like, it's not beneficial to me. I'm going to hear about it anyway at the end of the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's noise.
It's just noise for me, what I need to get done. Maybe it works for others because they're not working in the space. But for me, I need to stay sharp. I need to stay focused. I need to keep building, you know, and that doesn't help me. If anything, it's a distraction. But to each their own, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it is for sure a distraction to a large degree. Except when it might not. It sounds like people are getting so worked up over it, it might turn into something that isn't that's bigger than a distraction.
It's weird too. It's when people don't even have like they're not even directly connected to it, and then they have a take on it. It's like,
yeah, no, you see that a lot.
It's because they're like not focused, you know.
Yeah, it's like, well, here's my take on this thing. I haven't bothered at all to really understand. Yeah. And I know exactly what's going on, even though I don't understand. I know exactly what's going on. Yeah, that is weird to encounter, but I think it's just like general human stuff.
Yeah. All right, Stackers, make sure to hit unsubscribe there. Don't follow us. Don't ring the bell. Don't do any of this stuff. You're not helping. We want to stay small. We want to just release delete DVDs.
Yeah, if any of you work at YouTube, if you could just get all of our subscribers wiped out. So you know anyone there? If you know, what is it, Soonjay?
Yeah, everything could just be keep it on Stacker News Live, or we'll keep it on Stacker News. We'll just release that
way. We could turn off.
We'll just use YouTube for releasing it, and then eventually Keon will roll out a live thing, and we'll just do everything from Stacker News.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. we could turn off the subscribe button. If we could, if someone could call YouTube.
It's weird. The more we say that, the more people keep subscribing. It's the strangest thing. Like, stop subscribing. Stop subscribing.
We're warning you guys. We'll have
to telling you. You want me to start talking politically correct? You need to stop subscribing. You're gonna ruin this podcast, Stackers. Stop subscribing. Look, there's like now we got another subscriber.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, literally went up one.
What are they doing?
They're trying to ruin it. Anyways.
Oh man.
That's why I can't have nice things.